Acts chapter number 13, we'll read the first three verses, and I'll pray, and we'll get right into it. The Bible says in verse number 1, "Now there were in the church that was at Antioch certain prophets and teachers, as Barnabas and Simeon, that was called Niger, and Lucius of Cyrene, and Manion, which had been brought up with Herod the Tetrarch, and Saul. As they ministered to the Lord and fasted, the Holy Ghost said, Separate me, Barnabas and Saul, for the work whereunto I've called them. And when they had fasted and prayed and laid their hands on them, they sent them away." Let's pray. Lord, we thank you for your love to us. Thank you for giving us life to come here and into your house and worship thee. Help us now as we surround ourselves with your word. Help our hearts to be open to what you have for us. Help us to hear what you have for us. But not only hear it, but help us to do it. Help me now. Guide me. Give me strength. And give me the right words to say, and clear all distractions from my mind and all of our minds, that we can be in tune with what the Holy Spirit has for us. And I pray that you'll receive the glory from everything that's said and done, that you can remove me and my flesh out of the way and allow God to be glorified today. And I pray this in your name. Amen. We see here in Acts chapter 13 that this was a fascinating church. If we were to read several other chapters before that and find the history of this church, we see that God was doing great and mighty things in the church of Antioch. And here at the very first verse, we see a list of men who God used in this church. And many of these men we don't know much about. I won't take time to go through the history of all these men. But I do want to emphasize that even though we don't know much about these men, and that we don't have a great history of where they were from or who they were or what they did, we have some little bits and pieces of information, but not a lot. What I do want to emphasize is that these men mentioned in verse number 1 were faithful in the church that God had put them. And that's really all that's important for a Christian. And you may have status, and that's great. Praise the Lord for that. You may have wealth and prestige. We see the last man that's mentioned, Manion. He was part of the royal family, part of Herod's family. And he had a place of position within society, but what God emphasizes is that he was faithful in the church, that he ministered and served in the church. And as you see this church in its development and its growth, we see that they had a heart for God. And really, that's what every church should have. And I see that here evident in this church. And a lot of times, we use this phrase, and it's a good phrase, but sometimes we misunderstand what it really means. It's a phrase that we say, that's a missions-minded church. A missions-minded church. That's a good phrase, but sometimes we don't understand what that really means. Sometimes we might think that a missions-minded church is a church that supports hundreds of missionaries and gives has a large budget that they give to many missionaries. Is that a missions-minded church? I would say that that's a good thing to do, but that doesn't make you a missions-minded church. Maybe a missions-minded church is a church that's faithful to the mission conference. I believe y'all have a yearly mission conference, and maybe one would say that the members of the church are faithful to that conference every single day, hearing about missionaries, seeing the videos, getting the prayer cards, and doing all many things to be active within missionaries. And is that a missions-minded church? Now, those are all good things to do, but I would say that that doesn't make you a missions-minded church. What we see from Acts here in the church of Antioch, they were a missions-minded church because they had the heart of God. They had a heart to win souls for Jesus Christ. They were faithful. Everybody was involved, not just a small portion of the church, but the whole church was involved. And God mentions just a few names here of men who were faithful to the work that God had given them. And I believe that makes us a missions-minded church when we're faithful to the work that God has given to us. So what can we learn from this church? The question could be, if we want to be a missions-minded church, if we want to be missions-minded Christians, what do we have to have in our life? Now, let me tell you, this is just an encouragement. I'm thankful for the work that you guys are doing to help us in Germany and many other missionaries that you're doing. So I'm not here to say you need to fix things or anything. That's not my place. But I am here to help encourage. And what can we have if we truly want to be a missions-minded church and missions-minded Christians? The first thing we need to be is active. Active. Look at what it says there in verse number 2. As they ministered to the Lord. As they ministered. So as they were ministering, then the Holy Ghost came and gave this church a specific task. As we'll learn more later, that specific task was to send out two of those men that we just read to go start churches throughout Europe and Asia. But it says as they were ministering, they were doing the work, and then the Holy Ghost said, okay, you've been faithful, you've been ministering. Now, as you've been doing this, now here's your next task. Here's the next thing that you have to do. See, God blesses those who are faithful. And God chooses those who are active, who are doing things. God never blesses. You never see anywhere in the Bible where God blessed somebody who just sat around and did nothing. Look at David. Where was he? He was in the wilderness with the sheep. He was ministering. He was active in the work that God had given them to work with the sheep. He was writing psalms. From what we believe, he was active in writing psalms just as a young man. He was doing these things. And then what happened? Then Samuel came and anointed David to be king over God's people. Now, if David said, no, I don't want to go work with the sheep. I don't care about work. If he said, who cares about writing psalms and letting God speak to me? If he said these things, do you think God would have blessed him to be king over his people? I don't know. I'm not God. But as I reread the scriptures, I find that God blesses those who are faithful, who are active, who are serving him. God always chooses those who choose to do his work. And if you say that you're a Christian this morning, if you say that, hey, I want to be blessed of God, I want God's blessings on my life, well, guess what? We've got to be active. We've got to be faithful. We've got to be stirred up for God's work in this world. And God, an inactive church cannot be properly blessed. And so what God wants is 100% participation in his church. It's his church. He'll build his church. And how does he do that? He uses individuals like you and me to proclaim the gospel around this world, to build his church. And God blesses those who are active as they were ministering. Well, what's the second thing that we must have if we want to be missions-minded? We have to be spiritual. We must be spiritual. It says, as they ministered to the Lord and fasted. And fasted. Now, fasting is probably one of the greatest spiritual endeavors that we can do in our life. And a lot of times when we think of fasting, we think about not eating. Isn't that true? We give up eating for a while, eating and drinking, and we get alone with God and read his word and pray and let God speak to us. And that's a big part of fasting. And if you looked at me, you probably would say, hey, he could probably use that a little bit every now and then. German food has been good to me for the last 3.5 years. But fasting is more than just giving up food, I believe. I believe fasting involves getting rid of those things that have become a great distraction in our Christian life. Setting aside those things. They may not be bad. Is it wrong to eat? I don't think it's wrong to eat. Hopefully it's not wrong to eat. No, but we set that aside and we say we're not going to be partaking in those things so that we can be fully concentrating on God and his word. And that's what this church did. It's a very spiritual act where we set aside these things and we get in tune with God and let him speak to us. That's what this church did. And if we want to be missions minded, if we want to have the heart of God, if we want to have his heart for this world, we've got to set aside some things. We've got to give up some things in our life. And some of those things aren't bad. Some of them might be bad. It just takes God working in our life to search those things out. One thing that I have to learn in my life is my love for sports. How many of you love sports this morning? How many of you love football? How many of you love the Green Bay Packers?
No?
No? This is Indianapolis Colts country, right? Well, I like the Colts. They're a pretty good team. They used to have a great quarterback. They still do. But I'm a Green Bay Packer fan. I love the Green Bay Packers. My dad's from Wisconsin, and I love the green and gold. They're my team. But sometimes I get so wrapped up in the wins and the losses and the quarterback rating and Aaron Rodgers and this and that. And I hate the Bears. I despise the Bears. And, uh-oh. That got people stirred up. I've lost the crowd, Pastor. I've lost them. I'm sorry. I got the glare from Pastor, too. Uh-oh. I'll just sit down now. But the point is, I get so wrapped up in these earthly things that I forget, hey, God wants to get a hold of my heart. And sometimes I've got to set those things aside. Some of these earthly things that really, in the light of eternity, they don't matter, even though they kind of do. But we've got to set some things aside that we think are so important, that we think are so, wow. But God says, no, let's just set those things aside for a moment and let me speak to you. And we have so much distractions in our life that God is trying his best to say, hey, I've got a great work for you, but you're not listening to me because you've got all these distractions in your life. And some, what we've got to do is be a little spiritual in our life and set those things aside, fast a little bit, and say, I'm not going to be involved in those activities so that God can speak to us or that God can use us. And so let's be spiritual in these things. You know, Hebrews 12:1 says, wherefore seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight. Not all weights are bad. A lot of times weights are good to help us be stronger. But we've got to lay aside those things sometimes. And then sometimes we've got to lay aside the sin which does so easily beset us. And let us run with patience the race that is set before us. So there are good things that we have to lay aside. There's bad things that we've got to lay aside. And it's also that God can speak to us so that he can use us for his glory. And that's what this church did. They were spiritual. They were spiritual. They not only were active, but they were spiritual. But then they were hearers. Look at what it says again in verse 2. As they ministered the Lord and fasted, the Holy Ghost said. Now, I'm going to take the Bible for literally for what it says, as we all should probably do, right? It says, the Holy Ghost said. I'm going to believe that the Holy Ghost audibly said this. I don't know. I wasn't there. Maybe he spoke in the hearts like he does for us. Who knows? But it does say clearly, specifically, the Holy Ghost said. And what did the Holy Ghost say? Separate me, Barnabas and Saul, for the work whereunto I have called them. So it's very clear that the Holy Ghost said this in a way that the church clearly understood what the job was. The whole church knew that they had to take two of their best members, probably their best, the greatest members that they had to separate them to allow them to go out from their church to start other churches throughout Asia and Europe for God's glory. Now that's a hard thing to do because they took two of their best members and they separated them. They said, okay, you're going. You're leaving us. And I can just imagine that this church probably thought, why are you doing this, Holy Ghost? They're our best members. I don't know who the best members are. We should all be the best members in the church. But think of the two most faithful people in this church, and they do everything in this church. And the Holy Ghost said, okay, those two people got to go. Got to go. The whole church here in Acts chapter 13, they clearly understood this, and they did exactly what the Holy Ghost told them to do. But what do we do in our life? What do I do? Let's say, what do I do in my life? The Holy Ghost says something that's very clearly, now I may not hear an audible voice today, but in my heart, because I know the Holy Ghost resides in my life, he clearly says something to me through his word or through the preaching or through other Christians that as they influence my life. And what do? I said, no, I'm not going to do that. That doesn't make sense. This makes sense. This, how about this avenue, God? And the Holy Ghost is standing there and said, I clearly told you to do this, and you said no. This is not what this church did. They heard the Holy Ghost say this, separate me, Barnabas and Saul, and they did it. There was no reservation. There's a reason why Jesus said four times throughout the Gospels, he that hath ears to hear, let him hear. Why? Because God wants us to listen. He wants us to wake up. In James, when it talks about how our life is but a little vapor, at the beginning of that passage it says, go to now, which is a phrase we don't get to use that much, but it's an old phrase that says, hey, listen up. Go to now and look at those people that spend their life building their own life and their own wealth, and it's all about them. Well, the Holy Ghost says, hey, wake up. We don't have much time here on earth, and I've got a great job for you. Now listen up what I have for you and do what I have for you to do. Amen. We have to be listeners of what God has for us. That brings me, I kind of gave you the fourth thing, we have to be obedient. And we see that in verse 3. When they fasted and prayed, they sent them away. See, all God wants for our lives is that we're obedient. That's it. So many people complicate things. They say, I don't understand God's will for my life. Well, I understand that because I struggled with God's will in my life too. But really, all God wants is just obedience. So if there's things that God has for us in His church now that we're not listening and not obeying, then how can God reveal the next step in our life? I just don't see it. Faith, to whom much is given, much is required, and God reveals more to us as we are obedient to Him. And this church was obedient. Listen, there's no stipulations to obedience. It's not like you're negotiating a contract with God. You know, when God says, when the Holy Spirit says, hey, I want you to do this, whatever it may be, you don't sit back and say, okay, I'll do that if you do this, God. I don't believe that. I don't think God wants us to do that. He just wants us to obey. He just wants us to step out and do it. He wants us to launch out into the deep, as He told Peter on the day that Peter came to Christ. Just launch out. Just do it. If it's clear, if it's audible, if we know it, we just have to do it. And sometimes we think that God's will is something dangerous. Look, 2 Samuel 22:31 says, as for God, His way is perfect. The word of the Lord is tried. He is a buckler to all them that trust in Him. And we need to just pray as David prayed in Psalm 27:11. Teach me thy way, O Lord, and lead me in a plain path. We may not like it. It may be something that isn't fun. It may be something that goes out of our idea for our life. But if God clearly says to do it, we have to do it and let God work in it. You know, most people don't want to know God's will in order to do it. They just want to know it in order to consider it. You ever met people like that? Yeah, I'll consider God's will. I'll think about it. No, God doesn't want you to think about it. He wants you to do it. And He wants us to be faithful. Amen. There's a poem there that I found. It says, just to let the Father do what He will, just to know that He is true, and be still. Just to follow hour by hour as He leadeth, just to draw the moment's power as it needeth. Just to trust Him, that is all. Then the day will surely be peaceful, whatsoever befall, bright and blessed, calm and free. That's what we just have to do. Just trust Him, and He'll bless us. We have one minute left in our Sunday school hour, and I want to use this 1 minute to share with you a fifth thing. I gave four things of what we need to do if we're going to be missions-minded. We have to be active. We have to be spiritual. We have to be hearers. We have to be obedient. There's a fifth thing, and I believe this is the most important. If you don't have this last thing, all those four other things that I just mentioned are useless. It says in verse number 2, as they ministered to who? To the Lord. If you don't have that, your activity is useless. Your spirituality is useless. Your hearing and obedience is useless. You have to do what you're doing for the Lord. And that's what this church did. They were active. They were spiritual. They were hearing of the Holy Spirit. And they were obedient to what God told them to do. But why were they doing that? It's because they loved the Lord. And the love of Christ constrained them. The reason why Kelly and I are in Germany, and I try to remind myself of this every day, is because God's called us there. We're not there for the German-speaking people. We're there for Jesus and to give Him glory. And as we are obedient to Him, He will use us to see German-speaking people come to Christ. And that's no different here in Jasonville, Indiana. As you're faithful to the Lord and you honor Him and glorify Him through your life and you're doing those things for Him, then He will bless you to see many people come to Christ here in Jasonville, Indiana. And it's all for His glory. Are we missions-minded? I hope we are. But really, these points are not just for missions-minded folks. It's for Christians in general, isn't it? And let's be faithful to what God has given us to do. Let's pray. Lord, we thank You for this great example from the Church of Antioch, how You worked in their lives. And help us to use this example for Your glory, apply these things to our lives, and help us to be faithful to You. And I pray this in Your name. Amen.